Blog Talk Radio.
The sun goes down in Calvin County. Neon lights from an old beer sign shone through the window out on the sidewalk. As I walked in to pass the time, I looked around, sat down at a table, ordered beef on rye and a glass of wine. And through the door came a little old lady. She was selling paper roses, and they only cost a dime. Paper. They only cost a dime. Silver hair that's lost its gold, trembling hands as she passed a rose. Red crepe paper made nature's bouquet. Help a little old lady buy a rose today. I took the rose from her trembling hand. With eyes of age, she smiled and walked away. Like a breath of spring, I could smell the rose. It came alive, and I heard her say, buy my roses, pretty roses. They're only made of paper, but they only cost a dime. I went to look for her outside. A spray of roses lay by her side. The sky lit up and the choir sang.
Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters, and maybe a Twisted Mister or two. Hope everyone's doing well tonight. Hello, Pam. Hello, Naomi.
Hello.
Hi,
hello.
Hi, Naomi.
Well, good to hear you both.
Hello.
Good to hear you, too. How's everyone doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing awesome.
Me too.
Yeah. And how are you doing,
Phil? I'm hanging in there, you know. It's kind of what we have to do, right? And that's what we do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I got to take a trip to go see my son today, so that was nice.
Very nice. Very nice. How's he doing?
Oh, my goodness. He's growing. He's looking healthy and happy and energetic. Though he did have a bit of one of those like springtime colds, you know. So he was you know, a little sniffly, a little under the weather, but not too bad, you know.
Right.
And but yeah. Yeah, looking good,
yep.
And doing good.
I'm glad to hear that. Definitely.
So, what are you going to tell us about tonight's show?
All right. Well, paper cutting, the art of paper cutting. Mm-hmm. It's actually now something I want to get into. I've been reading up on it. You know, I ran this contest, which didn't get a whole lot of rights, but that's okay. That's okay. Sometimes that just happens. But it to me, it's actually quite fascinating. Like, okay, some things to know about the art of paper cutting. It was invented in China during the Sixth Dynasty, and after, you know, not long after paper was invented, and then it moved into other areas of the world. It became very popular in Europe during the 16th century, and then the German and I can't remember what else, other nationalities, but the ones that tended to move to the Pennsylvania area brought it to that area. It's actually popular all over the world. A lot of times it tells stories or uses animals. You can find it in China, Japan, Indonesia, Philippines, Jewish, Mexican, Slavic, Swedish, Germany, Switzerland, so all over. And a lot of times the figures and the motif put in it oftentimes reflects the culture of that area. Now, certain types of them include, the other thing is that whatever area it comes from, two things that they have in common is it is always cut out from one piece of paper, and there is oftentimes a sense of balance within the how the figures reflect. They're the same on each side, and they're created by first folding and then cutting. And they did the silhouettes where you use the black paper. There's also paper cutting has been used around the world for as decorations for holidays and festivities. And I mean, we've all done paper cutting. We think we haven't, but obviously we have. If you've ever cut out paper dolls, or you've ever cut out snowflakes to hang up for decoration as a kid, you've done paper cutting. A couple more things that I'd like to mention is that a couple examples of extremely famous people who were actually paper cutting artists were Hans Christian Andersen and the artist Henri Matisse. So, and there's some what I find to be interesting facts about paper cutting and the art of, and I'm looking forward to delving into tonight's poetry.
Nice. Sounds like fun. Sounds like a great direction to go for a Tuesday. Absolutely. Okay. Well, I have one more caller on the line.
All right.
Aisty, please? I'm not exactly sure if I pronounced that right. Hello, and how are you tonight?
Hello, Dudisticles is how it is pronounced.
Okay, thank you. I was hoping you would tell me.
Yeah.
All right, and are you going to get offended if I just call you dude?
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's
okay.
Fine.
All right, well. Welcome to the show. Glad you could join us.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Yeah, I've been looking for some kind of outlet to, because I signed up for a couple in person poetry sharing events. So I'm looking for a place to practice, a place to share my poetry. So yeah, this seems like a great, and I've been on All Poetry for a while. So this is a great, this seems like a great next step.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. And just so you know, All Poems Read, the links will be put in to the Late Night Poets chat. So.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. All right. And I always, so I like to start out Tuesdays with a classic poem. So let me go ahead and grab that. Do we have anyone else still?
No,
okay. Okay, I don't think so. I thought I'd ask. All right. All right. Up first we have On the Countess of Burlington Cutting Paper by Alexander Pope. And it goes like this. Palace grew vaporish. Once and odd, she would not do the least right thing, either for goddess or for God, nor work, nor play, nor paint, nor sing. Jove frowned and Muse, he cried, those eyes so skillful and those hands so taper, do something exquisite and wise. She bowed, obeyed him, and cut paper. This vexing him who gave her birth, thought by all heaven a burning shame. What does she next but bids on earth her Burlington do just the same? Palace, you give yourself strange airs, but sure you'll find it hard to spoil the sense and taste of one that bears the name of Seville and of Boyle. And one bad example shown how quickly all the sex pursue. See, madam, see the arts o'erthrown between John Overton and you. End poem. Now, obviously, I came across this poem because I went on All Poetry and I searched classic poems that had cutting paper in them, in the titles, and I came across this one. It doesn't really have a whole lot to do with the topic at hand. I'll admit that, but neither did many of the other cutting paper poems. And you know, I'm a really big fan of Alexander Pope. I think I would understand this poem better if I knew more about the names. I did Google some of the names. He was a satire poet who oftentimes in his poetry brought in fellow poets and authors and other famous figures. He was known for his sharp wit. And I have a feeling that if Richard Wiseman was here, or Rex was here, they could probably tell me more about this poem. But I found it particularly amusing in the whole idea of, and Pallas, that was another name for Athena. So in this whole idea of this goddess commanded to do something useful with herself and decides to, just start cutting paper. So, and I do know that Seville and Boyle is a mention of a lady who actually used to be a chambermaid to a princess, Princess Caroline, I believe it was. And so, anyways, also as always, I have great rhyme and flow. And Naomi, what did you think of this classic poem?
Yeah, well, I have a Seville Boyle here, Dorothy Seville Boyle, who was a Countess of Burlington, an aristocratic that was, yeah, so she was, you know, she was an aristocratic countess, but I maybe that's not the one that is mentioned.
It's the same one. But yeah,
she
also,
okay.
Yep, it is the same one.
Okay. Well, I love the the flow of it, the whole of course the classic it's a classic poem. So I love the rhyme, the flow, and you know, she and that you know, she wouldn't do you know, the his bidding, I guess, from what I get out of the poem, vexing him from who gave her birth, you know, and you know, so that was, you know, kind of a bit of sarcasm, I find, in the throughout the poem, maybe a bit, and you know, so it's, yeah, I found it a very interesting write. So yeah.
Oh, absolutely, and there definitely is a sarcasm and a bite in there. So great comment. And Jean, your thoughts. Jean, are you mutating? Okay.
There we go again. Anyway, I think it was a great piece for the beginning of the show. As you said, you know, it's not actually directly related to paper cutting, but there's enough mention in it that I think it draws people into the read. So nice job. Nice job with that. Great choice.
Thank you. And dude, your thoughts on this classic poem by Alexander Pope?
I thought it was very poignant, and I thought it had a nice flow, and you could definitely tell it it had a classic air about it that, like you said, it had a very it had that sharp bite to it that that you see not super often with a lot of the classic poems, that, you know, I appreciated that, because that gave it a sense of realness and a sense of viscerality. And it felt like you could, almost like you could bite into it. You know, it was tangible. It was real. So, yeah, those are my thoughts.
Absolutely. And that is a really good point. It does make the humor in it, in the satire, and it makes it more tangible and real. Yeah, he was actually, like, if you look at his all poetry page when you get a chance, he was actually called the Wicked Wasp of Twickenham because of his stinging literary satires. All right. And moving on to the next poem, I have Intricately Woven Paper by Daniel Duhame. And Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please?
Of course. Intricately Woven Paper by Daniel Dam. Silhouetted figures brought to life by candlelight. Dark silhouettes dancing around. Legends brought to life and stories foretold. While a Chinese guitar plays in the background. Children delight in the tales of ancient warriors and mythical beings of old. Upon a wooden stage built to house the theater, lanterns light the pathway to benches to sit. A curtain is drawn forward, and stick-figured marionettes made from rice paper perform, made after many hours of minute detail. Actors are trained to perform after years of training, honing their craft to a precision like soldiers on a battlefield.
Wonderful read there, Naomi. And dude, your thoughts on this poem by Daniel Duhame?
Wow. You could definitely get something almost like, let me get that. I need to be reading that, because that I need to be reading that right before my eyes, because that is
okay. Well, the link is right there in Late Night Poets.
Okay.
You might need to refresh, but I will come back to you.
Yeah, please come back to me, because that was fascinating.
All right. And Naomi, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I loved how he really got into the subject, you know, of paper cutting. You know, you have the silhouette figures, and then, you know, the legends. Like you said, they were often used to bring legends, stories to life, you know, the use of paper cutting. And then, you know, you said also in your, you know, when the show started, that it originated in China. So he has a Chinese guitar there. And, you know, and then the theater. And, you know, maybe in China it was used, they were built into marionettes, I don't know. But, you know, I think he really did some research for this poem. You know, it shows, like, great background knowledge of paper cutting. And, you know, great lines. And I love, you know, how it's how he formulated the whole piece. You know, and when he finishes, actors are trained to perform after years of training. And, you know, and he compares that as like soldiers on a battlefield. You know, I love that, how he finished the whole thing out, because paper cutting is, you know, as intricate as a battle march, or a, you know, it could be a planning on a battlefield. You know, it's, you know, it's not something that's easily done. So great write by Daniel Jam here. Great write to start out the show on the subject of paper cutting.
Absolutely. I really have to agree with you, Naomi. You know, it really does seem like Daniel did his research. You know, and I always say, write what you know or be willing to do your research. So I always respect people who, when they write a poem, you know, they go out there and they learn before putting their words on paper. I'm actually going to have to look more into this stick figure marionette made from rice paper, mm-hmm. And the performance. I'm very intrigued by that part. I really like that he stuck with a specific kind of paper art, that he stuck with the paper art in China, that tells stories of legends of ancient warriors and mythical beings of old. I really like how he mentions, as you said, the end, where the actors are trained to perform, and also where he says, made after many hours of minute details. That was wonderful, because, you know, that's one of the things with paper cutting art, is there is a strong attention to detail. And honing their craft to a precision like soldiers on a battlefield was absolutely enthralling to me, because of the fact that to compare something that is, you know, that gives a sense of peace and balance to the idea of war, I just found it fascinating. But at the same time, these are both, I think it works really well, because of the idea mm-hmm. that, you know, soldiers who go on a battlefield are trained, as are these people who create this artwork. So just absolutely a wonderful write. I'm very impressed with this one. And Jean, your thoughts? All right. All right. Well, I'm going to go to you now, dude. What are your thoughts on this?
Okay. So I've gathered my thoughts. I really think the imagery is palpable here. I really appreciated how the research was done, and I can appreciate just how, like, you can really see the images in your mind when you read through this. It is so real and so tangible. And I can see the verses come to life. It has so much substance, and that to me just makes the realness of it just so, that's what makes a poem come alive. And I think that's just so excellent. That's the soul of a poem. And I think that's just what makes it great.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Oh, very well said there. All right. And let's see. Are you back with us, Jean?
Well, I am. My internet has started to blink on me. So, yeah, I thought it was a great poem. I thought he did a wonderful job writing to the topic, actually. Just really well done. So nice work, Daniel. Thank you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. Great comments, everybody. All right. Now, I'm going to put up the poem by S. Sharp. And, dude, would you give that a read for us, please?
Why, yes, I could. Let me pull it up here. All right. Paper art. You cannot escape the symmetry of my thoughts. Cut into images with an X-Acto knife. Love on the horizon with the horses I ride. Sunshine on pine trees. The rabbits climb. Life. A treehouse amongst the clouds. Settle for the night, like the loneliness of a poem cuts into midnight's light, like the loneliness of a poem cuts into midnight's light. Settle for the night, a treehouse amongst the clouds. Life, the rabbits climb on pine trees. Sunshine, with the horses I ride. Love on the horizon. Cut into images with the X-Acto knife. You cannot escape the symmetry of my thoughts.
Wonderful read there, dude. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was really impressed with this poem by S. Sharp. I really like that line, you cannot escape the symmetry of my thoughts. And I like that. I felt like it wrapped the poem up nicely, added like a sense of circular completion to begin with that line and end with that line. And the use of the word symmetry to represent the symmetry that's created in the paper art was really cool. And he wrote to prompt four, which if you, it's not attached to his poem, but the prompt, you know, he brought in a lot of the images that are in the prompt, like the pine trees and the rabbits and the house, the horses. And I feel like there's a real sense of searching for something. Like the loneliness of a poem cuts into midnight light was a wonderful line. Settle for the night, a tree house amongst the clouds. Life, the rabbits climb on pine trees. You know, I feel like that line there really is a great representation of those times when you look at the clouds and you see the different shapes, and you look at the stars and you see the pictures that the stars make. There's a real dreamy and longing quality to this. And so beautifully written and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts.
Yeah, well, first off, the format of the poem really is intriguing because it really, you know, you can fold it up, folds up, you know. When you have the two, like the loneliness of a poem cuts into midnight light, you know, and then you have the second, you can just fold the poem into in half there, and it'll meet up with each other. Yeah, it's like an echo, you know, of the other. It's the same format. It's the same lines. It's the same, you know. So it, I love that, you know, that it like you said, it echoes the symmetry of the paper cutting, you know, and the folding that is required to make paper cutting. That's the first thing I like. And plus, you know, I just love how he took the image of the paper cutting, and he, you know, he put elements of it into the poem, like the horses and the pine trees and the rabbits and all the nature into it, you know. And, yeah, and me too. I love that line, you know, you cannot escape the symmetry of my thoughts. You know, there's just something that brings you in, and it circles around the poem, you know. It's, you know, because the cutting is a circular image, and you know, the poem kind of circles around to the ending, you know. So really well done by S. Scott, well thought out, and very well written. And amazing, very clever.
Oh, absolutely. That was a great comment, Naomi. I'm glad you noticed and brought up the way the poem could be folded in half. It's funny because, you know, I saw the word symmetry, and that made me think of symmetry. And I did see that the begin with that, you know, begin and ended with that same line. So that made me think of the circular. But, you know, it's interesting because people's minds work differently. Like, for some reason, until you said something, I just hadn't quite grasped that the way the poem was created as far as form goes. So I definitely think that adds an extra depth to it. So very cool comment. Phil, your thoughts?
You know, I thought it was an excellent piece. I loved the form of it. And then I thought it was an awesome take on the prompt. So it really, in my mind, you know, the form created the imagery of the paper cutting, like Naomi said. And I think that was a wonderful touch. So great job, Scott, and thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment. And, dude, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Well, quite frankly, I thought this was an amazing piece. I was astounded by the way that this poem was like the soliloquy of a ghost. It was like, I really thought it spoke to the prompt, first of all. Because, like you said, it really hit home on a lot of the imagery that was in the prompt, and practically speaking. But also, I think that it's just a lot of it felt like emptiness just speaking, like pure nothingness if it had a voice. And I feel like that is something special. Like the poem being able to be folded in half, I feel like that's symbolic of something very, very auspicious. I think this is a very neat poem. There's something very spiritual about this piece. I honestly think I'll add it to my book, to my list, because this is a very cool poem. Those are my.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's awesome. You know, and I really like that you mentioned that it feels like a soliloquy of a ghost. And that it does have, because it does have that haunting feeling to it. So absolutely excellent comment there. All right. And let's see what we got next. All right. Up next, we have Circle of Life by Diane D. And we have a SoundCloud for that. So, Jean, whenever you're ready.
Circle of Life by Diane D. Within the weaving of the wreath, framed in a heart of sage leaves, tulips adorn an arch of uniformity, bringing unity into the circle of life. Rooted in the mighty oak stump, man rises like a sacred phoenix, feathers his bramble bush arms, attending to the forest creatures. Black can't be black without white. The moon cannot rise without dark. Time won't move in a straight line. And life cannot exist without time. Does the circle have a beginning? Is the universe birthed from a dot? Is it black on white, white on black? Or does the circle of life ever stop? End poem.
Wonderful read and write, Diane. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Jean, your thoughts. Let's go with your thoughts, Naomi.
Yeah, well, I really like this poem a lot. You know, another stunning write from Diane here. You know, just amazing, you know, the way she talks about, you know, she took the prompt and she put the circle of life on it. And, you know, there's something, you know, about the house right in the middle, a home. You know, where and the nature around it, and, you know, ending with the flowers, and then you can see the dark and the light, you know, like the shad, the bright and the white and the black, you know, and the dots, you know, the outer it, of the image, they look like kind of like dots, you know, and dots throughout too. So I think she took everything that was in that image and she put it into this write to make an amazing write about the circle of life. And I just love, you know, how she played with the words in that last stanza, especially. Does the circle have a beginning? You know, a circle doesn't have a beginning, but does it, you know? Is the universe birthed from a dot? Does it, you know, a dot which usually symbolizes the end? So does birth start from an end? Is it white or on black or black on white? Or does the circle of life ever stop? You know, it doesn't stop. It goes on and on and on, you know, just circle, like the circle of life. So I just enjoyed this so much. Thought that she put so much thought into this poem. It's so rich. And, you know, just an amazing, amazing write by Diane here.
It truly is. It's and as you said, it's rich. I do like that she has all those questions in the last stanza. I think, you know, and it can't obviously be done all the time, but there are certain times when with poetry, if you put a questions in a poem, that it allows your readers to think along with you. And I think these are some very important questions. I do like that she brought in a lot of the details. I like that she chose sage leaves, framed within the weaving of the wreath, framed in a heart of sage leaves. I thought because of the fact that, you know, you can like burn sage as a cleansing ritual in many Native American and other cultures, that was a particularly poignant piece. I also really like that second to last stanza with black can't be black without white, the moon cannot rise without dark. It kind of reminds us that, you know, the appreciation of the light happens when you can, in the darkness. You know, and then I thought that stanza there was a great way to reflect on the how there is that impact of black and white for the artwork. Like each one makes the other stand out more. So definitely an amazing write and very well done.
And you know, Pam, yeah. That's sage is the word in French for wisdom.
Is it?
Yeah, it actually is.
Oh, you're right. You know what? You're right. It is. Yes, and that makes sense because the sage is a person of wisdom, and it's also and it's also good for turkey stuffing. So.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. And dude, your thoughts?
I thought this poem was very metaphysical, and I thought this poem was very, this was a very thought-provoking piece. I was brought to thoughts of, both German and Greek philosophy, it was very there was a lot of intensity in this piece, and it was very in your face in a way that like. It was kind of like a near-death experience in a poem, and I thought that that was something very special. There was that nature imagery that, of course, went along right with the prompt that was used, and I think that also added a little bit of a rustic tone to it. And I think that also added a unique flavor. And I think that wrapped up the poem quite nicely. So I think this was a very great piece by Diane.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. And Jean, do we have anybody else on the line?
We do, actually. I was going to let you know. We actually have two callers on the line. First off, we have Weaver of Dreams. Hello, Kate, and welcome aboard.
Hello, my darlings. Hi. How are you all?
Hello,
thank you.
Good to hear from you.
Thank you. I've just about got my voice back. I'm afraid I'm rather croaky. Everybody's now clearing the throats. It's terrible. I'm so sorry. I just croaked like an old frog.
It makes you sound sexier.
Wow. Hello, baby. Oh, my goodness. Yes, so hello. I'm so pleased to be here.
Too funny. And we also have Dexter on board. So hello, Dex. Hi. Welcome to the party.
Hi, Dexter. Hi, Dex. Join us.
Hey, I'm glad I could be here.
Hi, Dexter.
Hi.
Good to have you. Okay.
All right. And I'll go ahead and get the next poem up. And up next, we have A Cage of Love is Still a Cage by Mari Campbell. And Weaver, would you give that a dream for us? Or not a dream, sorry. There was a Freudian slip. Or something to slip.
I love it.
Would you give that a dream for us, please?
I would be happy to.
Blame it on the voice.
I will.
Blame it on the
voice. Okay, so here we go. A cage of love is still a cage, though love will peck and gnaw your rage. Your children soar on feathered wings. Your husband is a jailer king, whose rings do cuff you to the loom, a washing pile your sullen doom. The wheel of fortune spins so quick, every month another prick, every year another mole. The cat has sharpened aging claws that gouge into your wooden chair. The silver lining threads your hair. But a sagging chest and loving heart won't make him want you in the dark. Do you want the buried tree to dance undone among the bees, to cup the grass under the stars, a story for a thousand scars? Don't you want a burning kiss, a meeting in a blinding mist, a trail of touches without rings to hear the sharp-eyed blackbird sing? A cage of habit is a prison, enshrined in loving repetition. You sit and sigh and keep on spinning. But is this really living? End poem.
Wonderful read there, Weaver. Thank you so much. This is really a powerful and poignant poem. Even the title speaks volumes. A cage of love is still a cage. And Dexter, I'd like to start with your thoughts.
Yeah, I feel like, well, first off, Weaver's got a fantastic dreaming voice, but it's just a, no, but this is a strong piece, and I feel like this is almost from the side of somebody that, you know, there's a lot of animals in the wild that are not, they don't mate with one animal. You know, they're constantly finding new mates. There are certain animals in the wild that are with one mate. And I've, you know, and there's been a lot of discussion. I mean, I don't know about a lot of discussion, but people have questioned forever if humans are meant to have one mate or whatever it is. And I feel like this is somebody that is from the other aspect of it. You know, your husband is a jailer king. Finding love is finding somebody to sacrifice for, finding somebody that's worth giving it all away. This feels like just the overall tone of it is obviously from the title too, that love is kind of a negative thing. So I thought that this was a fantastic write.
Oh, it really is, and definitely thought-provoking. A great comment there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, I could tell what prompt this was without even looking. You know, the woman sitting at the spinning wheel, and you know, just amazing. You know, the take on the prompt, and you know, this I'd call this tired love. You know, when you're in a relationship and routine sets in. And, you know, this is so relatable. You know, I've been through this so many times in my life. You know, when you're just caught up in that routine and the other person doesn't see you anymore. And, you know, you're yearning for that, their love. And you just don't get that tenderness, that loving anymore. And you're just there as a, you know, as a kind of a statue or a piece of furniture, and you're just there picking up, like they said, washing a washing pile, your sullen doom, you know, washing the clothes, but you know, as a metaphor for you're just washing and washing and washing over and over again. And getting all rinsed out, from the lack of appreciation and the lack of love. So you're so caught up in this routine. So, and, you know, she ends it, but is this really living? And, you know, I've said no so many times. I've gotten out of so many relationships that just dragged me down this line. So this, I think, is very relatable to a lot of people. You're an amazing, amazing right here.
Absolutely, absolutely. I really like listening to people's different ideas and interpretations of the same poem. You know, like how mm-hmm. Dexter mentioned, you know, that it comes across to him as the idea of someone who, you know, differently on the idea of what love is supposed to be, and brought up the whole, you know, the topic of, you know, do arguments supposed to be committed to one person throughout their lifetime? And how you mentioned that, you know, it's the idea of being in a unhappy relationship. It definitely does have a feeling, whichever point of view the author meant this to be from, it definitely does have a heavy weight of sadness in it. And you can feel like this is a friend of the characters watching their relationship with their husband and saying, you know what, you may think you're in this castle, you may think everything's good, you know, but you're in a prison. And, you know, it may seem like it's love, because a lot of times people don't realize, you know, what love truly is, what it means to be loved and respected. And they oftentimes mistake abusive relationships for love. I like that you brought in the spinning wheel. The wheel of fortune spins so quick, every month another prick, every year another maw, the cat has sharpened aging claws. You know, that whole idea of it just being the same thing over and over again, and still you're willing to put up with the pain, still you're willing to put up with the bleeding, and for what, you know. So just a wonderful write and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts.
One more time. I had to go over and check out the prompt for this, and I think it really suited it really well. I said there's great imagery in the piece, and it was a great take on that chosen prompt. I'm not sure if anyone else went over and looked. But it's a woman sitting with a bowl on her lap. She may cat at her feet, the birds flying around, but she's got a spinning wheel in front of her. And I think that it was just a nicely done piece, and well penned, and very much enjoyed.
Absolutely.
Mahari.
And dude, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really thought that was a powerful piece, because it shows like the harms of a toxic relationship to a fragile mind. And how, like, over time, any mind can become fragile with repeated abuse. And it's definitely, it shows the fragility of human emotion in general, because pain is such a visceral feeling that is so present in these verses. And it's so in your face when you read it. And it's so tangible and so palpable. And when you see it, it's just so... it's an experience when you come upon it in these verses, and it's impossible to deny. And that's my take.
I like that. I like that you brought up the fragility of the mind that has been repeatedly exposed to abuse. So well said there. And Weaver, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Thank you. I'm glad I got through it without coughing at you. this was a joy to read. This was an absolute joy. It flowed, it moved, so good, so very good. And I totally understand the meaning behind this. I don't know if perhaps abuse is rather a strong word. I think disinterest, not caring enough to even notice what the person does for you on a day-to-day basis is perhaps coming through this. Because she does say at the bottom, enshrined in loving repetition, you sit and sigh and keep on spinning. So it's loving repetition. She's saying basically that she still cares about these people, but she's just not being noticed. So, I thought it was absolutely wonderful and beautiful all the way through. So thank you.
Absolutely. And indifference, I think, is a great word to describe you see in this prompt, the idea of somebody who's not appreciated for all they do. So excellent comment. And all right, up next I have A Witch's Bagatelle, number 2 by Jack Blue and Dexter. Would you give that a read for us, please?
Certainly. A Witch's Bagatelle, number 2. Actually, the mirror shows a perfect princess posing well, or singing dreams or fantasies with her joyful nightingales and her super happy cats in praise of fairy sorcery. Should I ask it, who will just be the fairest, purest queen of all? Yes, she'll absolutely be, and I'll really never be, as its fairies proudly tell inside the spatial parallel. Fairies, have you ever seen another cosmic entity or a crystal universe stretching panoramically from wonder to infinity as wide as Mother Nature is? Well, the mirror you live in only shows the tapestry of how the ethereal pollen or its passion waving bright uncannily deceives your eyes when you love their fantasy. Mirror, mirror, answer me. Do you really show the truth? Fairies, careful of the light. End poem.
Wonderful read, Dexter. This is such a creative write. I love the way he used the imagery in the chosen prompt. Just absolutely beautiful. And Weaver, your thoughts?
I'm doing well in this unmuting thing. I just keep looking down at a little red light, and I think I switched that one off. Yes, this is beautiful, isn't it? A princess posing well, or singing dreams of fantasies with her joyful nightingales. I need to have a look at the prompt, though, because I don't have the picture in front of me, so I can't, I can't
it's
describe.
The same one you used, Weaver, for your poem.
Oh, that's a popular one.
The spinning whale?
Yes. Oh, well, then, yes. I did think it when I was hearing it. I thought, that sounds as if it's got the same kind of aspects that the picture I was looking at. Oh, yes, beautiful. Isn't it great that people seem to take all these different ideas and run with them from one particular, whatever it happens to be, quote or picture? I think it's fabulous. This is beautiful. I don't want you to read mine out now. This is too good. But it's the mirror you live in only shows the tapestry of how the ethereal pollen or its passion waving bright uncannily deceives your eyes when you love their fantasy. So yes, that's somebody who is obviously not sure of themselves and needs some kind of recognition. The way I look at it, that's just possibly completely wrong, but it does come across that she wants some kind of answers to whatever it is she's thinking about. Yes, I think it was beautiful, and it was very interesting, a very interesting take on the actual picture. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, absolutely. It really was. Great comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I love how, you know, Jack Blue, he took the picture and he took the, you know, the what was the squares in that that paper cutting picture, and you know, he took that as a mirror, and he put that into the poem. And you know, as Weaver said, it's amazing how you can read the same poem and can look at the same prompt and get all these different reads out of the same prompt. It's just amazing. But, you know, he takes us to this place, you know, of fairies and mirror on the wall, you know, just, you know, this kind of universe that's, like he says, parallel to us. This, like, kind of pulls you into this magical world of his, you know, just a fantasy and fairies dancing, and you know, so just amazing write that by Jack Blue here.
Absolutely, you know, and you're right, he does pull us into this magical world, and it always is fascinating how people can bring out different things from the same prompt. So very cool. And Dexter, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I enjoyed this quite a bit. And, you know, it goes along the lines of, you know, believe nothing you hear and half of what you see. You know, and so answer me, mirror, do you tell the truth? In this day and age of filters and people having this animated skin and doggy ears and, you know, and all these things, and looking in the mirror, am I looking to see what I want to see, or am I looking, you know, it tackles on that, am I the purest queen of all? It's been an age-old thing probably since somebody looked into a clear pond a long time ago. So very well done.
Absolutely. And I like that you brought this in into modern times with the idea of how we use all those filters on, so people use all those filters on social media, you know, to hide who they truly are. And the idea of, you know, being honest with ourselves. So excellent comment. And, dude, your thoughts.
Okay, so I really thought this was very well done. I really liked the fantastical element to it. And I really thought there was this nebulous overtone that was both, for me as the reader, and for for the princess as well, I think it goes hand in hand with that parallel reality, like, because you're trading, it's almost like you're fading in and out of like enlightenment and like waking up and sleeping, light and dark. It's like the nature of the duality. And I think that is a really cool concept that I think is being gotten at here. And I think it's gotten at a very, uh, I wouldn't say a Lewis Carroll kind of way, but like a because it's but it's still very like very like youthful.
Musical is good.
Whimsical.
I like that.
Whimsical. Yes, yes, that's a great word. So yeah, that's my take.
Very cool, very cool. And I like that you brought up the parallel, the idea of the parallel universes. I was actually particularly drawn to the line inside the spatial parallel, and also the stanza after that with fairies. Have you ever seen another cosmic entity or a crystal universe stretching panoramically? This has wonderful rhyme and flow, just absolutely delightful imagery throughout, and it definitely does have a fantastical element to it that I very much enjoyed. So, excellent right there. All right, and now I'm going to go ahead and start doing callers in the order, in order. So, first up, Naomi, I've got your poem, so go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Yeah, well, I went dark.
Dark
nocturnal. Nocturnal. Instead of going out, I sit down, staring at the hardwood from swollen eyes for long minutes, my sheets still stained with last night's prey. I dug my talons into and kicked to the curb for the morning trash. My eyes closed. I dream, run a bath, lie down in it, my body too big, my hands not mine. I tremble, swear too much. These can't be my hands. Hot liquid flows on my cheeks. Manage to crawl out. The mirror spits out the image of a stranger with wrinkles too hollow, perfume with the desire to die, and honey. A sudden awakening, gray sky, baby blue, microorganisms grow at the bottom of a coffee cup, still half full on the dirty countertop. That smells almost as bad, my sick life. Paper cuts. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Naomi. I have to say, I always like your poetry, and I like the way you oftentimes think outside the box. You know, like you looked at this paper art of this owl that has a heart in the center. Like you can actually see that. Like it looks like a heart, you know, where the owl's heart should be. And you saw it as a representation for someone who comes alive at nighttime, you know, makes, you know, decisions that aren't necessarily good for their body, you know, or good for their mind, and then is filled with regret come the morning light. And I thought the fact that you took that picture on a dark metaphorical level really spoke volumes. I love this, the grittiness in this. It has a very Bukowski type feel to it. I really like my body too big, my hands not mine, I tremble, swear too much. These can't be my hands. There's a real sense of somebody losing themselves. Like, you know, the idea of getting to the point where you no longer recognize yourself, no longer recognize everything around you. I really like the mirror spits out the image of a stranger with wrinkles too hollow, perfumed with the desire to die and honey. And then that ending, that smell almost as bad as my sick life. First of all, instead of just using, you know, I don't know, just any kind of cut, We went with paper cuts, and that reflects the prompt, the chosen prompt and topic very well. But it's also paper cuts, they're so small, but yet they hurt, I think, more than any other cut, those and grass cuts. And I think part of it is because you always get them on your fingertips, and you can't avoid touching things. And so there's a constant reminder of the hurt that this person has done to themselves. So just an amazing write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
And Dexter, your thoughts?
This is a fantastic write, Naomi. You know, it's like almost as if, you know, having an out-of-body experience, you know, watching yourself do something that you don't want to, you know, or having kind of a moment of clarity, I guess, or something like a addict would have. And I just think that this is a very profound piece and very well done.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well said there. And dude, your thoughts?
Sorry about that.
Oh, no.
My roommates have turned on the TV. So I really thought that was a great poem. I was astounded, by the way, that was just an ode to, like, darkness, and the way that it was just, like, just so gritty. And so I really liked the way that you said it was very Bukowski-like. And it was just so it was just very there was a darkness to it that was very palpable and very real. And I very much it was like being taken over by something, and it was very tangible. And I could relate with that a lot. It was a very real poem. And I liked that about it. So thank you for sharing that. So yes, that's my take.
Thank you.
Absolutely wonderful take. And Weaver, your thoughts?
Oh, just amazing. Naomi, you're such a sweet lady. You're all sugar and spice and so, and then you come up with this. Oh, I loved it. I loved it so much. The fact that in your AN you have one-night stands feelings. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about there. It's just the weirdest thing, the excitement of a new meet, the excitement of a new body, and then the morning comes, and comes regret along with it. And I love the fact that you kicked him to the curb. I love that. It's one of my favorite sayings. It's so cool. Yes, it beautifully. It's the darkness and the grittiness of it. And I just listened all the way through. I didn't want it to end. It was just so good. So thank you very much, darling. It's great.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Wonderful comments, everybody. All right. And, dude, I have your poem up, so go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
All right. Let me pull it up here. Give me 1 second. I'm so sorry.
No worries.
All right. Okay. Uncover. Finis. In her time shall love with her great light overcome the darkness.
even that darkness of utter nothingness, and she shall fill that absence with her presence. In her time shall ye sing unto it a field of abundance, yea, a lot of rejoicing. I love to maintain these things. I will sustain them eternally, lest any take away from them. I will continually supply them. Vengeance is not in me. Who would contest me? I would overcome the one who did them in peace. Or let it be covered by me, that it may be reconciled unto me, and it shall be made one with me. It shall cause the light forth from love, her commonwealth shall flourish, and shall inherit the peoples of the world as its subjects. As love saved bliss for the sons of light, as the sons of light have saved bliss for themselves, and shall bliss be saved for the sons of night also, in time, when it springeth forth, thou wilt be one with it. She exalteth her fullness in the day of light. By this shall darkness be purified. And this is all the reward to remove its nothingness. She shall make the temple of darkness into a temple of light. No more shall idols of absence stand within it. Yet desolation shall be made abundance, and made into a realm of comforting. There shall be no hunger. There shall all find their rest, and consume in peace. When abundance flourisheth, good in love, humankind cometh and purifieth it, for it is a race of enlightenment. Therefore she that created them shall have mercy on them, and she that formed them shall show them favor. In her time love shall remove all abundance from the darkness, and shall be united as one. O ye sons of light, in the time of love the great trump shall sound, and the people shall flee strange lands of darkness, and shall praise love in the center of her fullness. Thanks for letting me read.
Wonderful, wow. Wonderful read there. Yes, very impressive. Now, you had told me that this poem, that you thought it fit well with prompt 14, and I have to say, I very much agree with you. Prompt 14 being the heart-shaped artwork with the doves and the olive branches, both being a symbol of peace. I thought this was a beautiful spiritual rite. I like how you bring in the feminine power of love and of creation, and the idea of a calling forth of light and love. I was particularly drawn to, hath love saved bliss for the sons of light, as the sons of light have saved bliss for themselves, and shall bliss be saved for the sons of night also, in time when it springeth forth, thou wilt be one with it. So exalteth her fullness on the day of light. There's a real sense of reverence for love and for the idea of unity in love. I do like that you personified love as not just an idea, but as a concept that joins us all together. This is beautifully written, very well done. I'm glad you were able to call in. And, of course, I hope you'll stick around if you can for the rest of the show. Hopefully we'll hear from you in other shows. And in the meantime, let's go ahead and get you some more comments. So, Dexter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was a great write. Had a very classical feel to it, a very classical language to it, and a deep-down feeling and belief that love will overcome and that the light will defeat the darkness. And in such a way that not only defeat is a bad word, but the light cares for the darkness, cares for what is the problem, I guess, maybe with the darkness, or how can it help? So I thought it was a fantastic write.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought you were, you know, this, you said sexual, you have spiritual in your AM, and, you know, of course, I thought you were almost reading from the Bible, like from the especially the book of the Proverbs in the Old Testament there. You know, it had this biblical feeling all throughout this poem, very spiritual. Yeah, I love the play, you know, with the light. And, you know, when you say abundance, when abundance flourishes, it shall be perfected in love. You know, yes, of course, you know, when you have love, abundance comes, you know, whether it's, you know, in whatever way, in whatever form, you feel full when love is there. And, you know, it has this kind of feeling that love conquers all and light overtakes darkness when love is there. So yeah, I just love the whole feeling of spirituality throughout the poem, and you know the great message that it said, you know, that it evoked in me. So great right here, bravo.
Thank you.
Great comment, Naomi. And Weaver, your thoughts?
Oh, yes. Well, dude, I am a complete lover of these and those. I love that language. It seems so much more colorful. So, yes, I really enjoyed that aspect of it. And the fact that love can conquer, if given the chance, love can conquer all. And I thought that was a beautiful adaptation of the fact that love, you've got to be sort of empowered by love. And if each person could pass a tiny bit of that on to someone else and they could pass that on, you wouldn't want to hurt anybody. Nobody would want to hurt anybody. They'd want to look after each other. And that's such a hard thing because nature versus nurture is one of my favorite things. And you can't change people sometimes. But it would be great if your amazing love touched everybody. I think it's a beautiful poem, and thank you very much for sharing it.
Thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Wonderful read and write. Great comments, everybody. All right, Weaver, I have your poem up next, and you are nice enough to provide a SoundCloud. So, Jean, whenever you're ready.
As I spin my dreams, silken threads attached to each thought. Finer, lighter, gossamer strands embody all I wish to be and feel. But thicker, coarser threads intrude when concentration wanes, reflecting baser instincts, the herd mentality, survival, all so real. As the tapestry of my life evolves, not preordained, but conceptual, with the palest pastel hues and crystal bright highlights, there is unease. I sense a shift, see a peripheral dank darkness as tendrils reach out from within that gaseous miasma, ready to touch and taint all it sees. The birds will take these messages, warn my coven that I am already lost. The Witchfinder General is using our captive brethren to seek and find us. I'll not succumb. I'll use my cauldron and spell book for the very last time. To save 12, foxgloves will produce a tincture of a fatal brew, Digitalis.
Wonderful read and write there, Weaver. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. And also the fact that you're here is always, you know, always appreciated. You know, I have to say, you have one of those voices that I would sit around a campfire listening to you tell stories. It is just, you make me want to be a girl just, you know, tucked underneath her covers, listening to you read me a bedtime story.
Thank you. Oh, how sweet. Thank you.
Beautiful reading voice. And Naomi, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I had to look up Digitalis, and it's called The Flower, The Drug, The Poison. So, yeah, wow, it fit well into the poem. Yeah, I just love this, The Devil's Brew. You know, it can be, I saw it as a metaphor for, you know, when you see life as a fairy tale and everything's going well, and then, you know, those coarser threads intrude. And, you know, the baser instincts, you know, all the you know, what you need, the reality of life comes into play here. And, you know, it could be not that you're thinking about it at all. But, you know, I just saw this, you know, as a kind of metaphor for that. You know, the she's sitting there dreaming, spinning her dreams. And then, you know, when the coarser threads are a metaphor for the reality of life that intrudes. And, you know, of course, she uses her spell book to you know, to fight off, you know, all that is dark, all that reality, all that darkness. So, you know, I read it as a kind of like a prolonged metaphor, but, you know, it is an amazing rewrite. I just love how you put that line in the palest pastel hues and crystal bright highlights, there is unease, and the peripheral dank darkness as tendrils reach out, and the gaseous miasma. You know, the wording is so amazing throughout this rite, you know, and I love that it brought me elsewhere. It brought me into this great metaphor. It made me think, you know, beyond the rite itself, beyond the literal, you know, so just an amazing, amazing rite. Kate here, I just really, really enjoyed the whole rite, and especially your, like Pam said, your voice, your reading voice too. So just amazing rite.
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. And Dexter, your thoughts.
Yeah, I thought that this was a fantastic piece and very enchanting. You know, when you start talking about kind of the fantasy, the witch finder general and everything behind it, you start, you know, wanting to know more about the backstory of it. Like, you know, you want to start almost knowing more about what's happening here, as if almost it's like Lord of the Rings or something. But I think that this is a fantastic metaphor, and the way that I took it is self-doubt. Here we are, we're born into this kind of world, or like it's at least my own story, I guess, was, or I just feel like as a child, I felt like I could do anything. And then this sense and the shift was just the reality. And when you start to kind of fail at different things, and when you start to struggle at different things, and this sense of darkness, of self-doubt starts to creep in on you. And maybe this is a fantastic metaphor for that any reader at what maybe their witch finder general or whatever, maybe their poison that's within them is. So I thought this was a great piece.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Great comment, Dexter. And, dude, your thoughts.
I thought this poem was very excellently written, and I thought that it definitely had a mystical element to it. It had quite the, again, a fantastical vibe to it. And you could sense a lot of, I could see a lot of imagery popping up in my mind. And like it was said earlier, I think a story was definitely being told. and I could definitely get behind that. And I really, really liked the way that this poem definitely took me for a ride. And yeah, this poem was definitely an experience in a very brief amount of time. So yeah, that's my take.
Thank you.
Wonderful, Jake. Yeah, great comments, everybody. I really like how this is a story, right? But it does have that mystical quality to it and that fantasy quality. And yet there's, you know, it definitely so much that can be taken on a metaphorical level. Like even the idea of there's that finer, lighter gossamer strands, and there's those darker, coarser strands. That idea that there is light and dark in each of us. I like the mention of the herd mentality. The idea that everybody's out, you know, like to just fit in. I really like, I sense a shift, see a peripheral dark, dank darkness as tendrils reach out from within the gaseous miasma, ready to touch and taint all it sees. Such wonderful visceral imagery there. And just a wonderful tale and very well done there, Weaver.
Thank you.
All right, and go to grab the next poem. And Dexter, I put your poem up. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
All right, this is Not I by Duke of St. Paul, Dexter Bailey. My mind opens like a silhouette cutout, the world holding the scissors. Slice and snip to society's desired design. My heart holds a book of matches and sets the image ablaze to feel the warmth of accepting my asymmetrical existence. My left eye worse, my left arm longer, right ball lower. Been wrong about everything except. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Dexter. I have to say, this is an excellent brevity. I'm very impressed with the way that you use the art of paper cutting, the aspects of it as metaphors throughout the poem. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh yeah, this is amazing, an amazing brevity. You know, it's so thought-provoking. You know, the way society does have, you know, the desired design, you know, for you to act in such a way. And, you know, the heart holds the book of matches that wants to set everything on fire and do what you want to do. And, you know, not conform to what society always dictates you to do. That's what I thought I found in this poem, but it, which is amazingly well worded and well written. You know, to feel the warmth of accepting my asymmetrical existence there. My left eye worse, my left arm longer, right ball lower, being wrong about everything except. I just love the way you finish out the write too. Excellent write here at Dexter. So thought-provoking.
Thank you.
And Weaver, your thoughts?
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm looking at the picture that you've chose to go with. And yes, I can see exactly why your mind did open like a silhouette cutout. And the fact that the world is holding the scissors. We don't have an awful lot of control nowadays, I don't think. Society does expect perfection. And it just doesn't happen. You know, there are not everybody is perfect. We're all one left eye, worse one left. I can't say much about the third line, but I love the fact that if you are listening to this only and not reading it, that last line could read being wrong about everything and then accept, as in accept what's happened, accept me the way I am. But then you see it the way you've written it as well, so you've got the duality of it. So, yes, I thought it was beautifully written. Thank you.
Thank you, Weaver. Thank you, Naomi, too.
And, dude, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really thought that I think it expressed the fact that we cannot expect perfection, and I think it was just very, it was a very well written piece, and I think it was that's basically I'm still collecting my thoughts on that one, because it was very, very thought provoking, but I very much enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing that. That's my take.
Thank you.
Great comments, everybody. Yeah, Dexter, I really like, and this has been brought up about how you mentioned the society's desired design, in the idea that, you know, we society expects us to be a certain way. And I did like, Stu, that you brought up the idea that, you know, there's people expect perfection from other people, but we also expect perfection from ourselves at times. And I really like, Dexter, how this, you know, says basically, you know, the learning to accept, it says accepting my asymmetrical existence, you know, accepting yourself for being the person that doesn't have that perfect balance, you know. So really just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you.
All right. Up next, we have The Shadows Are Art by Versus Goliath. And we have a SoundCloud for that. So whenever you're ready, Gene.
I have no more SoundCloud fans. None.
Okay. Okay. Huh. That's not.
I'll double check, see where I can find it, but I'll let you know. Thanks.
Okay. Then I'll go to another one. All right. Let's see. You know what? I'll go ahead and read my poem. And Naomi, when I get done reading my poem, will you go ahead and lead the comment?
No problem.
All right. This is a paper story of love and life. And it goes like this. Hands telling a paper story art, the heartbeats combining generations' strength. Soil holding thirsty roots, tender reach for light. Farm where life is a song of morning chores raised. Love, the kiss of sunlight through floating clouds beams, a clatter of horseshoes kicking the road's dust. Vines become the sweet flesh of the autumn grape. End poem.
I love this, right, Pam? You know, it is, you know, it's there's something about it. It's just, you know, reflects that prompt so well, that the delicate art of paper cutting, it's in the way it's written there. What did you think, Kate?
Excuse me, I have a mouthful of cough drops. Beautiful, really beautiful. I love the fact that you've got a word, a couple of words, another word, and you've got this whole feeling immediately for the person who's listening or reading. The heartbeats combining generation's strength, soil holding thirsty roots, tender reach for light. I mean, that's beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank
love
you,
the kisses. I'm so sorry. Yes, I was caught up in it. I was reading another line and loving it. Love the kiss of sunlight through floating cloud beams. Beautiful, really. Very well done. Thank you for sharing that with us. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah, it is. Indeed. You know, even the clatter of horseshoes kicking the road's dust, and then that final little stanza there, just amazing. Dex, your thoughts on Pam's poem?
Yeah, I love this, and I love the style of it. I felt like the structure of it almost fit, being kind of a paper cutout, but I enjoyed this because I feel like different from a lot of the poems I read of Pam. I don't know if I've ever seen a stanza where it's like five or six words, like it starts off here, with Pam. And I just, the briefness, the farm where life is a song of morning chores raised, it just brings out the beauty of simplicity. And I think that that's what kind of farm life and living out in the country is. It's the beauty in the simplicity, and your poem matched that. So very well done.
Thank you very much.
Indeed. And you know that last stanza, you know, vines become the sweet flesh of the autumn grape. And so do the, you know, the vines of the paper, the cutting of the paper, all those vines that you find, they create the final image as the vines create the awesome, the, you know, the autumn grape, the sweetness, the grape at the end. You know, so at the end of the final paper cutting, you get this amazing image as you do when the vine grows, you get the grape. So I found that awesome, Pam, the write like that, Pam. So just an awesome, awesome write.
Thank you very much.
And Jean, are you there? Would you like to comment on Pam's piece?
Well, I am here. I am here. I did comment. I have to go back and open up the poem again. Well, maybe I don't. No, I don't. I thought it was a fabulous take on the prompt, Pam. And the right looks as delicate as the prompts were tonight. And it was very well penned, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Yes. You found verses.
And and dude, are you still with us?
Yes.
You'd like to comment?
So I thought there was a very complete richness and first of all, very vivid imagery, which I very much enjoyed. And there was a very palpable richness in this poem and in this piece as well. There was something that you could just like experience. All the poems tonight, it was just like you could experience it, but this was something else. You could really just like fall into it and like no other. This was a very, very unique piece. I was really blown away by it. And hats off. Bravo, and a magnificent piece. That's really all I have to say.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, so I'm going to, the wonderful comments, everybody. I'm handing it back over to you, Pam.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I have put the Shadows, Our Art by Versus Goliath up. And Gene, whenever you're ready, go ahead and play that SoundCloud.
The Shadows Are Art by Versus Goliath. Happiness is a settling fog on a dewy morning, slowly filling spots on the lawn with riesling, lap at saucered kettle water as jaybirds sing, crows scream like an uncle's excited laughing. Contentment is a rabbit in the garden at dawn, chewing carrots with a demeanor so very calm, concentrating on gnashing fibrous nutrition. Smooth back twitch, raindrops fall from tipsy palms. Love is mystery hidden at the center of paper art. Four eyes connecting as a smile from face to heart. Doves cry at sunrise, rising warmth of day's start. Flowers bend toward comfort and rewarding parts. The end is like paper burned or crumpled. Futility stings like a scorpion in unmade bed. Friendships severed over scrapped iron bled. Humility lingers gingerly over scarecrow head. And boom.
Wonderful read and write there, Versus. He has such a great talent for imagery and metaphors. And Weaver, your thoughts?
Yes. I'm looking at the paper cut picture, and I see that I thought it was a little face with eyebrows, but now I see there are two sets of eyes and a little smiley mouth, which was brought out beautifully. But I think I particularly loved Contentment is a rabbit in the garden at dawn, chewing carrots with a demeanor so very calm, concentrating on mashing fibrous nutrition, smooth back twitch, raindrops fall from tipsy palm. That was just beautiful. The whole thing is beautiful. I mean, it just... I love rhyming. I think rhyming is just so much fun. If it works, it works beautifully. And this one worked beautifully. There is no, you know, awkwardness about it. It fits. It flows. I love the friendship severed over scrapped and bled. Humility lingers gingerly over scarecrow head. Just beautiful imagery and beautifully written. So thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree. It is beautifully written rhyme, and I like how in each stanza, it's a four lines per stanza, and it's the first line stands out on its own without fitting in with the rhyme, which I thought was really clever. I did like the mention of the contentment being the rabbit munching in the garden, you know, and the early morn, the idea of, you know, nothing to worry about, but just in simply in enjoying life. I also like the end line with humility lingers gingerly over scarecrow head. Wonderful thought-provoking lines and very well done. And dude, your thoughts?
Can you actually come back to me?
Sure, no problem. No problem. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, I love this all throughout. You know, the imagery is just amazing. But, you know, the first lines caught me probably because when I go on my walks or in my runs, you know, that's what I notice in the morning, you know. And I'm so happy, you know, and happiness is a settling fog on a dewy morning, slowly filling spots on the lawn with riesling. You know, filling spots on the lawn. Wow. You know, it's amazing the way he wrote that. He thought of that. But just an amazing write all through, you know, the amazing take on that prompt and an amazing write.
I have to agree. I have to agree. So excellent comment. And Dexter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was a great piece. It was very fitting of the picture. I don't know why the stanzas reminded me of kind of that swirl that's on the upper outside part of the picture. You know, it's almost like as if the picture rhymed, and so he made the piece rhyme. And, you know, the way that this whole thing is peace, love is the mystery at the center of the art. You know, I think that that's a key piece. I love the stanza that Weaver pointed out. I kind of overlooked that stanza, to be honest with you, but that was a brilliant stanza. But love is at the center, and, you know, that's at the center of the universe, and it's almost like all the animals, all the dancing, and all the nature and everything like that is just dancing around the center of love, and I thought that was just a lovely, or just a beautiful concept, so very well done.
Absolutely, I have to agree. And dude, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really liked this poem, and I thought the imagery was stellar. Yeah, that's really all I got.
Absolutely, yeah, it is. It is stellar imagery, I have to agree. So, wonderful write. And I'm going to have us get one last write in for the night, and then the rest will be carryovers. I'm not sure what show they'll go on, but I'll figure it out, and I will let people know. So I am going to put up Earthen Bliss and Change of Seasons by K-Bab. And Jean, would you give that a read for us, please?
Sure thing. Okay. Great image. Okay, this is Earth and Bliss and Change of Seasons by K-Bab. You come in lips of trees, as limbs speak, in language softer than a leaf might wing. For love is silver, this silver taste of broken ring, and roots to step, your forest, birthing creek. Roots are simple, springs of woodland, turning lamps. Through green leaf kiss in lower hues of smile, the splash that brims out brook to flow a while. Inside our earthen veins of sacred ground. Then kneel with me in strands of sacred wand and know this miracle as gift that gives you encircled turning life. When season lives within our deepest place to rest in pond. And now I look at you as earthen bliss of sacred wood and offer every wish as far as understood. Growing secret tablets, glowing grace. The changing seasons of the human race and chase and fall.
Wonderful read there, Jean. I really enjoy and appreciate this, right? The imagery is just stunning. Roots are simple springs of woodland turning round with green leaf kiss and bluer hues of smile. I feel like this takes us through the different stages of love and life. And that it brings in that whole circle of life thing, as gifts that gives in circle, turning life when seasons lives with lives within our deepest place to rest and pond. You know, to me, it just speaks volumes about the life and the spirit that we carry inside of us. So I thought this was beautifully written and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I agree. You know, beautiful right here. The subtle alliteration, you know, especially in that first stanza with the L's, just beautiful. You know, it just flows. The whole right just flows. Amazing imagery all through it, amazing thought-provoking right, you know. Very rich right, I find, you know, with, you know, just yeah, like I said, very thought provoking on life itself and everything that you know that it encompasses. So just an amazing write here by K-Bab.
Absolutely. And Dexter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I what I loved about this piece, you know, it's sometimes like when you kind of watch like one of those science shows or like, you know, you forget how much life is just at a little pond, or, you know, they talk about how many species are in the Everglades, or like how important, you know, just a little woodland area is. And it's easy to just look over there and see some trees and this and that, but there is so much life happening right there in that little area. And it goes past what our eyes can even see. And I feel like that's what this poem does. It kind of brings us into that vein and into that world and reality. I thought that this was very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like that thought, the idea we brought in of, you know, how important a small ecosystem can be. So very cool. And Weaver, your thoughts?
Oh, yes. I mean, this was just beautifully written. Anybody who knows me knows I love trees. I'm a tree hugger. I will stand up and let everybody know this, but it's true. Without trees, without plants, I mean, what would we do? We would just basically suffocate. So people have to realize how important wildlife is, and we need to look after our trees and our earthen veins of sacred ground. Yes, I think this was beautiful. And now I look at you as earthen bliss of sacred woods and offer every wish of forest understood. Yes, I wish everybody would understand how important they are. But yes, I thought it was really beautifully written. Thank you.
Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. And I have to say, this has been a wonderful show. I very much enjoyed myself. Join us tomorrow night for The Art of Seduction with Gray Eyes Smith. And thank you to Naomi and Jean for being wonderful co-hosts. Thank you to Weaver, Dexter, and Dude for calling in. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. Wonderful, wonderful lineup of poetry tonight and comments. And Jean, is there anything you'd like to say?
Nope, that's about it. I think you covered it all. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for tonight.
My pleasure, Jean.
Nice to have you.
Thank you, everybody.
Night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.
Bye.